So I thought this was sort of amusing. He's 2 days before the first game of the season. He hasn't watched much film, but he's calling plays on Saturday, but he's not worried about it because he's sort of a savant and he'll figure it out on game day. This is sort of the football version of, I got oral argument in 2 days, but I'll just read the briefs the night before, skim through the record and just go wing it because I've won so many cases before and because I'm such a great lawyer. And usually that lack of preparation, which will be a major theme of today's talk, is just doesn't work. The next slide, please. As you see, the result of the game, this is a nationally ranked Independence Community College football team playing at home, and they lost 70-21. So 2 days before, their head coach, their play caller, who's utterly not prepared for the game, and then 2 days later, they get housed by what should have been an inferior team. Next slide. Now, I put this slide up about the Rice-Texas football rivalry just to show that they're just not gonna, sometimes you can prepare as hard as you want. You can, you know, execute as best you can, be motivated, and do all the things you can do. But sometimes you just don't have the horses to get it done. It says Rice has only beaten Texas once since 1960. Including once in the last one in 1994. And then so we go back to what we're talking about earlier. Sometimes you just don't have the law on your side and you just don't have the facts on your side. But for whatever reason, either you're assigned the case or you're doing a pro bono or whatever, you still have to come up with an argument, and we're going to talk about strategies to overcome bad facts and bad law and hopefully put yourself in the best position you can be in to win an appeal. Next two slides, please. Just some brief points on brief writing. Their presentation yesterday, I believe, was much better than mine. What I want to talk about briefly is having a case on point or having a case that's distinguishable. You see that all the time. A party will say the case is not on point or this case is distinguishable, but they really don't explain why, or the explanations are about immaterial things, and which could be better described as nits. So case A involved widgets, case B involved hammers, so they're not the same thing, but that's the object is immaterial to the outcome. Or there's a res judicata argument. Well, that case, the Johnson case, involved the plaintiff. This is an intervener, so res judicata doesn't apply, even though the intervener is essentially the plaintiff in this case. So, and we'll talk about it in a second. Next slide, please. So I want to get into some case examples. This slide's up here. The dog ate my homework. Applies to default judgment cases. Go to the next slide, please. Now, this is going to be a little converse to what we've been talking about. And under Texas Supreme Court precedent, Sutherland and versus Spencer, Milestone versus Exxon, and the Craddock test, a defendant who's had a default judgment rendered against them has a fairly low bar to get that default judgment set aside if they do so in a timely manner. And the test is, you know, not the failure to answer wasn't intentional or the result of conscious indifference. You have to have some excuse. And the Texas Supreme Court says an excuse need not be a good one to suffice. And the Sutherland case he admitted he was served with a citation, dropped it on his desk, stopped thinking about it because the weather was during the holidays, the weather was bad and business was slow, and he just simply forgot about it. Even though that was probably not a great excuse, but it was sufficient enough to get that overturned. So if you look at the numbers, the next slide, please, on default judgment appeals, the appellant actually has a really good chance of winning usually. 77% in no default judgments. I believe this was 2012, the last time I was able to look at this chart. So if the appellant only wins 30% of the time across all civil cases in Texas. A default judgment appellant challenging the failure to set aside a default judgment has a 77% chance of winning. So the next slide. So the case we had recently was Parsons versus Parsons. The default judgment was rendered for the failure not to show up for trial. The excuse offered at the motion for new trial hearing by the lead lawyer was, I was going to have a substitute lawyer cover the hearing for me, the trial for me, and either try the case or get a continuance. The trial was on Wednesday. The substitute lawyer fell, broke her ankle, or was in the hospital over the weekend. But the lead lawyer said she talked to the substitute lawyer on Tuesday, which is 2 days after this other lawyer fell and broke her ankle. But nothing was said about it, but the substitute lawyer breaking her ankle or being in the hospital or not being able to cover the hearing. They talked on that Tuesday about the trial the next day. And then the lead lawyer says, I didn't know that she broke her ankle or was in the hospital until that Wednesday or after, around noon, after the trial had started and the default judgment had been rendered.